Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Welcome to Joe, Can You Believe It? Episode 10 of the Family EV Podcast. This wasn't meant to even be a podcast.
Well, at first it was the chat, the inside ID4 Insiders, and yep. Then it started smelling like a podcast.
Yeah.
And then it eventually just became a podcast at this point. And even Apple, after weeks of not recognizing us as a podcast, now officially does.
Yes, indeed. So in the show notes, you'll see, and please subscribe to the podcast on its own terms. You'll see a link to Anchor, which has then got links to Apple, Spotify, Google Podcast. And if you need to, just you can still watch it on YouTube.
Sorry, I can't open apps on this device.
What did you do?
That wasn't me. That was you. That was you. Because I use someone's words, obviously.
That we do not speak of.
that we do not speak. Yeah, that you do not use those words. I just know, having said that the one to the side of me will go off imminently. I'm John, and this is Joe from JKEV. I'm your regular EV dad. There was a little bit of a break, and for that I apologize. We did look at doing something while I was on the road. However, there is a situation here where Joe's a Luddite, and he uses only tablets or a work PC, and it's just too much work. And I'll explain in a minute why not. But so sorry for the pause, but we're back with no. With no plans to disappear. We don't schedule this for a certain day every week. And the very good reason for that is that we work for a living. Joe is a CPA type person. And I'm weird. So I am the chief marketing officer for a security company. And I have a bit of a schedule. So I'm off to LA next week to be charming. So we have to fit around these things, but hopefully you find the content engaging. This is, for those who've been following me on YouTube, I'm still not 100%. I still don't have my voice back. And if you're my wife, you'll be pleased to know that as soon as we finish this podcast, I'm going to be quiet. I will not speak for the rest of the day or for most of tomorrow. But if you want to hear me speak tomorrow, then I will do so at the Arinda Theatre, where British John is making a comedic performance with Kabir Singh, Mikey Winfield, and a number of other comedic performers in a fantastic old Californian theatre. I've done the Arinda once before. It's a cinema these days, but it's still a nice big venue. Smells of dust, if you know what I mean. It's how theatres are meant to be. So that'll be fun. Let's talk about before we get into the news, Joe. Let's talk about channels. So, wow, how was such original thinking there, my friend? You thought there's too many 70 mile an hour range test videos, so you thought, you know, how could I divert? How could I be different from the crowd? So you went for 75.
Yep. So naturally, someone out there has seen this video, and I'm sure they're on their way to 80 miles per hour.
I have no doubt. Now don't give the ending away. So we'll put a link to the for those of you watching this on YouTube and in the show notes, we'll put a link to the video. But we both know that it's 240 miles at 70. Is it a major difference? What does the curve look like at 75?
It definitely affects the range. However, as far as I'm concerned, I'm still pretty impressed. We've known during our trips, as we've discussed in other podcasts before, that whenever your gasometer says you're not going to make your destination, slowing down will increase your range by about 10% or so. And that seems to hold true with my testing.
Still believe that if I was to draft a semi the way I had to through Nebraska at 70, I could probably get it to I reckon 280. I think an extra 40 miles is possible with drafting, such as the aerodynamics. It's an interesting situation.
Yeah, that's something I will point out during my video, is since I did a loop, when the wind, there was not much wind, but when it was in my face, you can see the miles per kilowatt hour is substantially reduced versus when it was behind me. It's quite incredible how much of effect wind has on range.
I'll tell you, it's not just, and the reason why we're not recording, it's almost seamless and amazing. We didn't rehearse this. So as you may be aware, I have a white transit van, which we use for going to dog shows. We also rent it out for people to take on wine tours to Napa, but most of the time it's going to dog shows. And rather the last minute, and I literally do mean the last minute, instead of flying back from New Jersey, I ended up driving back with my wife and the kid in the transit. Now, we had a little bit of fun. So day one had us dropping off people at Newark Airport at 8 o'clock in the morning and then start driving. So when I mean coast to coast, I mean literally Newark Airport. I mean, that's on the Hudson. I think that counts as coast. We drove, we took 80 the whole way. And on the first night we stopped in, well, someone can tell me, it was in Ohio. It was in the first stop in Indiana on the Ohio Turnpike. So it's after the Indian, it's after Tiffin, it's after Indian River. It's the one after that, I can't remember where it is. Anyway, we slept in the van on the first night. Well, literally, I slept in the passenger seat, and my wife and kids slept on sleeping bags in the back of the van. But I say sleep, it was only for like 4 or 5 hours. It was just to get some rest. And then the second day, we got to Sydney, Nebraska, near the big Cabela's. And we stopped in Sydney for the night, because there was massive snowstorms between Sydney and Cheyenne, and they had actually closed 80. And so we got up early to get to Cheyenne, and we couldn't get beyond Cheyenne. They'd closed 80 between Cheyenne and Laramie. But they'd also closed 25, which meant we couldn't take the southern route down to Denver and then across on 70 that we would take in an electric car. But I mention this because, you know, range is affected by everything. So in the morning, we left Sydney for Cheyenne, which is, I don't know, ballpark 100 miles. That transit van doing 70 miles an hour will get 400 miles every single time. Boring as fully loaded, 400 miles. I got 96 miles on half a tank of gas. That's how windy it was. It was like driving a friggin' brick. And I'm getting to Cheyenne and I'm paying real money like a regular person. You know, this has got a big gas tank in it. I'm like, it hurt. When you have to refill 3/4 of the tank, in California, that's $100. In Ogallala, it's like 20 cents and change. But they give you money for being so nice to take their petrol. Gas in Ogallala was less than 280. I was like, really?
Nebraska. Cheaper than milk.
Crazy. But yeah, range of all vehicles is effective. You just don't notice it so much when you can refill the tank in 8 minutes, as opposed to recharge in 30. But it was interesting how many places along the way we stopped at what would normally be Electrify America chargers in this, but they were usually next to Flying J's or Exxon's or Walmart's. It's rather amusing, but yeah, that's why we did. Pardon me. That's why there was no podcast, is because I was on the road. It was my family trip to the Terrier National Specialty in Montgomery. So if you want to see pictures, then my Twitter is regular EV dad, and you'll see pictures there and on Instagram at the same. And yeah, I'm still not well. 2 weeks I've now had very little voice. So if you're married to me, it's awesome. If you're not, Just sounds like a very British Barry White right now. Should we talk about some of the stuff that's been in the news that's particularly interesting to the family audience, as it were?
Sounds good. Let's go.
Let's talk about the thing that's not in the news. Where's my fucking OTA?
Yeah, well, that was, I think, promised in springtime, and then it was promised in the summer.
Right.
And now we're well into the fall.
I swear to God, if I see a Starbucks fucking red cup before I get my OTA, because that's what the seasons are now. Autumn is pumpkin spice. Red cup is then the winter season. Pardon the profanity. That's probably going to get sanctioned. But this is... I have no inside track on this, but and you can go to any of my Green Glow chats to talk about this. I have lived a life of software hardware. They're making this update too big. Incremental is the way to go. There are some updates for this car. It's not had an update since it was released onto the road.
This update has a very Windows Millennium feel to it.
the multimedia system, the fact that the sound still cuts out is a safety issue. It needs to be updated. I don't care about super fast charging. I mean, I care, but it's not on the list of things like a priority, because, you know, I'm not road tripping it every single day. Hell's teeth, I've not even done 100 miles in it in the past month.
I should say we shouldn't just condemn Volkswagen. I've heard, actually, I've been thumbing around the Ford forums, and it doesn't seem like Mustang owners are too happy about the promises they've been given as well.
No, but these are promises that have been made, and just start pushing small updates. We don't need big multi-gigabit gigabyte updates. Small and incremental is fine. That's what we, until recently, I worked for a company called Securonix. I was the director of product marketing. We had a cloud-based platform. We pushed updates every 2 weeks. We didn't redo the architecture every 2 weeks. We pushed incremental positive changes every 2 weeks, minor tweaks, you know, big pushes every now and again, but there are a million small things that car needs to make it a better, safer vehicle. I just find it annoying. I don't want travel assist to be able to see in the dark and avoid bloody aliens. I just want the Bluetooth to be, I want Android Auto and Bluetooth to be reliable so that I'm not resetting the multimedia system while I'm driving with the kid in the back. It's as boring as that. So just stop doing the big shit. If I can see it happening in Europe, it should be happening here at the same time. And we can get to the whether you want to monetize 175 kilowatt charging another day. That's right now, just make the small positive additions that are required to make it a better vehicle, a better, safer vehicle. I'm annoyed because, you know, regular updates. Well, it's been 6 months since I took delivery and other people have had it longer. So we see what's going on in Europe with the ID3 and the ID4s. So frankly, it just the whole, we want to get the four-wheel drive version out the door and get it. Yeah, people with two-wheel drive don't really give a crap about the people with four-wheel drive.
I was talking to my dealer recently, and they're offering people incentives and gift cards to cancel their all-wheel drive just to take rear-wheel drives because it just continuously has been delayed.
Yeah. My dealer here at Sunnyvale, Duke Mark, you know, would love to have more stock. He could sell all of these cars in a heartbeat. That's my rant for the day. And maybe there might be another one, but who knows? Let's talk about some positives though. Volkswagen Group more than doubled electric car sales in Q3 2021. Now, this was published by, I saw this on a number of different forums. And let's be clear, Volkswagen Group includes VW, Audi, Porsche, Skoda, Seat, and a few other bits and pieces. But their plug-in car sales, BEVs, battery only, they sold 122,000 That's a few. I know it's not Tesla numbers, because Tesla's cranking out 500,000 cars a year, right? And they'll be doing more now. More, they'll do more than they'll do. They'll do 1 million this year with Shanghai on thing, and then they'll definitely do 1 million and odd next year with Berlin on in place.
Does that make them the second largest then? That's got to be above GM's numbers, I would think.
I'm not sure. Does it count? Right now, you can't even park a Chevy Bolt in the San Jose airport car park. It's rather mute. There's actually a sign that says Chevy Bolts cannot be parked left here. They will be towed. The Chevy Bolt has become the Pinto of the EV world. But in addition,
even with the percentage that have caught fire, it is still significantly small or less than any standard gas car.
I'm not going to make jokes at this point. It's not an attractive vehicle. Setting fire.
Well, we know that. Yeah. Setting it's kind fire of the rule number one that they messed up.
Yeah, setting fire to those things only improves them aesthetically.
They made the Volt, which I thought was a good looking car, and then they completely strayed away. I'm not sure why.
Chris Harris, respected British journalist and race car enthusiast, did a brilliant review of the Chevy Volt with a V, Victor. And I was very keen for it, but my BMW came in at stupid money and I got the i3 instead. Now, in addition to those 122,000 battery onlys, they also produced another 74,500 plug-in vehicles, plug-in EVs, plug-in hybrids. So they were up 109% year over year for pure battery and up 82% year over year, to just under 200,000. That is a major, for a company as big as Volkswagen, and I can't go into the percentage of, I apologize, my number's wrong. That was Q3 2021. And that was just in that quarter. In 2021 as a whole, they sold nearly 300,000 battery-only vehicles, 246,000 plug-in hybrids, for a total of 540,000 over the past 9 months. That is last year. So this is where they're growing. Last year, their total in 2020 was 422. So 539 for 9 months over 422 in 12 months. That is phenomenal growth. And obviously they're selling a lot of these in Europe where they need to get the credits, to get, you know, retirement of the fines against them. But yeah, it's made up. It was 160 by over 9 months globally. Volkswagen was 168,000 of those. 539. Audi was 52,800. Skoda's 32,000. Seat 8,800. Porsche at 28,600. We'll come back to that in a minute. This is one that surprised me. Volkswagen Commercial, 2,300 vehicles. So I'm not sure what that is, but just
don't sell it here.
just phenomenal. You know, their top five, unsurprisingly, the ID4 at 72,000, the ID3 at 53, the e-tron at 36,000. Really, rather just amazing performance. And I think one of the other things that struck me is, and it came out at the same time, is that this year the Porsche Taycan has outsold the 911. Think about that.
Impressive. And I believe it, because I feel like I see more Taycans on the road than I do 911s these days, especially around here, at least in Chicagoland.
Well, and so the interesting thing about that comment, and I may have said this before, I said this in a conversation. Actually, I don't know if I put this on, but I was talking to Kyle a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking in the morning. I can't remember the reason why, but we were talking in the morning as I was driving over by Cupertino, and I was driving past Apple headquarters. And you would expect to see a lot of Teslas, right? No. Taikan. I mean Taikan, 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 Taikan. Going into Apple headquarters. Just you know, it's very much the car of this particular moment. But they've sold 50,000 of them. I mean, that is phenomenal. And the reason that I'm really happy about this is it just proves rebates don't mean crap. No one spending $100,000 and change. And this is a Porsche. So remember, you know, you get five wheels and everything else is an optional. No one's buying this because of a $7,000 rebate and whatever local incentives. They're buying it because they want it, because of the performance, because of the experience, because the people spending that kind of money have choices and they are choosing the Taycan. So
I think if everything was on the lot, I think I would buy the Lucid and maybe the Taycan over the Plaid. But I got to think the fact that the Plaid is also just back ordered for months is also driving Porsche sales, because would you want a car today or do you want a car in 6 months? You know?
Well, even the Taycan has to be ordered, you know, and delivery is you know, whenever it is. I know Kyle's ordered a Turismo. I think he's expecting delivery next year. But yeah, the 911 sold 28,000 vehicles, and the Taycan did more. So, and you know, they did about 1,000 more. The Cayenne and the Macan are still the most popular, which is not surprising to see so many of those.
Yep.
But yeah, it just phenomenal. Again, if you build it, people will buy it if it's the best you can get. And I've been, you know, so I've actually just purchased all the options in the company I did work for. If the IPO or exit comes through at a certain value, then Daddy's getting a Turismo. I just want that fast. I want that practical. It's not that practical. Let's be clear. It ain't a friggin' F-150. It ain't practical. But for doing the stupid stuff I do, it's the perfect vehicle to support my midlife crisis. Because
it's about as practical to you as my F-150 Lightning will be to drive to my office every day.
Well, all right. I'm going to pimp this. Let me just pimp this very quickly. So, if you don't wear this one, I love my comedy. I'm a disciple. For those of you old enough, I was brought up on a diet of Bill Hicks. And it's always been my dream to perform. And I did perform in Texas quite a lot pre-COVID. And so on November the 1st, because of some interesting reasons, which I'm not going to go into, I have been given a golden ticket to do the Kill Tony show in Austin. Now, I only have 1 minute. If you want, tell you what, Joe, do you want a preview?
Let's see.
One minute of comedy. I'm running off by the way, I won't have my thing, but I've
make sure you don't copyright yourself.
So you'll have to put, I'm going to pretend this for you. I'm keeping the mask. It's the solution to British dentistry. These aren't even my teeth. These are Tic Tacs that I super glue in before each show. And they're easy to remove if I want to be Tony's feature. In case you're wondering, I'm not actually the gay butler from Downton Abbey who's let himself go. As I'm blessed to be here. This is the accent you could have had, but I see you all decided to go with that very feminine John Wayne ordering avocado toast. I don't remember him asking the bartender for a seasonal IPA, but these were your choices, not mine. Our countries are very similar and very different at the same time. You've decided that you're going to create your leadership through some kind of Fox News reality TV program, and I'm fine with that. I respect that. Hell's Teeth, we gave you Simon Cowell. It's partly our fault. Where I'm from, we kind of go with the Kentucky Appalachian model. So someone has to screw a cousin, and the baby becomes a king. That's our time, and that's my time. 1 minute. So anyway, I got 1 minute, and that's my minute. And if you're in San Jose, any open mics next week, you can see me road testing that a lot. I have 1 minute. We'll make it count. My one shot is going to apply some Hamilton to it. I am in Texas, so I have to resist doing all my bad things, like, you know, Joe, I don't know if you're aware of this, Joe, and I don't know your politics. I don't want to offend you in any way, but when it comes to birth control, the pill is the second most effective way of swallowing something to avoid pregnancy.
All right, the show definitely is getting this will never be monetized.
Don't want the money, my friend. Don't want it. I'm just happy. I'm just here to offend the audience. Let's talk about, let's go back to cut. So anyway, yeah, my stupid thing is I do intend to throttle back a little bit on my professional work and enjoy some of the success that I've worked, I will say I've worked very hard for. I would get the Turismo and I would actually put hundreds of thousands of miles on it every year. But I would teach it as an, it would be my touring car. And you know, to the people of Wyoming, I say this: if you don't want me to perform in Cheyenne, don't build a DC fast charger. That's how you keep me out. otherwise, I am going to abuse that free charging. It's a depreciated value for me. Let's talk about something more interesting. Did you see? So this past week, Tesla had their Oktoberfest at the Berlin Gigafactory, which is going to open soon. And two things came out of this. One is we actually got to see the structural battery pack based off the 4680 cells. And I have to say, it's so simple. It just makes sense. Instead of the battery pack being... So they're actually going to bolt the chairs, the seats, to the battery pack and then bring everything with the seats on up through the chassis. And that's it. So they no longer have to have robots to bring the seats in through the sides and bolt them down. Everything will come up from the bottom. And those bigger, better cells are an integral part. They're easier to manufacture. Assembling them into battery packs is simpler. Just amazing to watch. I mean, talk about stripping it back to its most simple components. This is how scale manufacturing is done. It's just amazing to see it really is. So go to the Inside. If you want to see pictures, I'm sure they're on Inside EVs or on Electrek. I saw them on multiple feeds, but... just amazing to see the amount of thought required to make something simpler. Normally we think to complicate, but this is just going the other way. Just really hits all my geeky buttons. The other thing is, and you're not gonna believe this, Joe, but I've gone through the analytics and I have no idea why, but we have a sizable number of British people that are listening to our podcast and watching our channels. I've no idea why that is. It's just a guy from California and a guy comes from Chicagoland, but for whatever strange reason, British people keep tuning in. So
Tesla. So if you're British, thank you. And if you're not, why are you not subscribed?
It's a question that needs an answer. Take this moment and go subscribe to some channels. Go on. We'll be here when you come back. I won't be any prettier. He still won't have... Wait. Hold on a damn minute, Joe. you've got a door. You've been saving up, and you finally.
For those of us who are not on YouTube, there are doors behind me now.
Joe's office stroke studio has now got a door. Wow, still not painted, but well, the door is. You haven't got around to doorknobs, but you've hung the door. Wow, it's just that must be what $20,000-$33,000 worth of wood right there. That's some spending. No, so the reason I mentioned the British thing is, and I find this just one of those weird things that it's still a thing. So the Tesla Model Y can now be ordered and configured in Britain, i.e. on the wrong side of the road. I'm not sure whether they're going to be coming from Berlin or if they're going to be coming from Shanghai, but I do know that a number of my my friends in England are looking at or have already ordered Tesla Model Ys because it's the perfect family vehicle. 250 miles of range, you can get all the way from Manchester to London without any difficulty at all doing that, which is, you know, two biggest population centers. It does make me think, why does Britain still need to drive on the wrong side of the road? This was the reason for this, by the way, so Ford would invest in the country and create an engine plant in a place called Dagenham back in the day. But now it's just creating a source of, if you're having to wait, how long have we had the Model Y now? 2 years? And we've had it more than 2 years, right?
I think it was a year and a half now, right? Wasn't it March of?
Was it
March of 19 or was it 20?
I think it was 19. But yeah, so they can order that. So there's so much content, and it was referenced Inside EVs, and Kyle from Outer Spec on both his review channel and his other channels has put out so much content in the past couple of weeks on EVs that we are getting in this country, the Ford Mustang GT, the Lucid, the BMW i4, and the iX. We've got Lucid now turning up, the Rivian about to start deliveries. It feels like we're at a turning point when EVs can be considered normal.
And let's not forget the Mazda MX-30. There's an EV for everyone.
No, let's forget the Mazda 30. Let's.
If it looks like a compliance car and it smells like a compliance car, it's a compliance car.
This is never going to get monetized. You know that, right?
We threw that away about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. So that's why I'm going to keep going. Look, it is a beautifully appointed Nissan Leaf. That's what it is. It is a beautifully 100 miles of range with 34 kilowatt DC fast charging. And the reason why is because in Europe, they sell it with a Wankel engine. I'm sorry. I meant Wankel. No, I think I got it the right the first time. The Wankel rotary engine is an amazing piece of engineering. It really is. It's one of the most fuel efficient ways of creating energy. However, did you ever see did the RX-8 come out over here?
Oh yeah, they last about 50,000 miles and then the engine blows.
Yeah. Because it's really hard to get the steel and the aluminum to work effectively in that engine system. Centrifugal forces have an effect on everything, including the injection system. It's an amazing principle, but so is monogamy. And that doesn't work out too well for 53% of people. It's clear.
I have a theory about this, about the
about Wankel monogamy, engine, not the monogamy or the Wankel engine.
The Wankel engine. This actually could work as a range extender, since I would be shocked if it ever ran for 50,000 miles in its life, because most of the miles are going to be the 110 miles of rated range that the car has, or 130, whatever it was. I think it'd be quite rare that people are actually even using the range extender, the i3.
And that is the plan, and that is how they're selling it in Europe. That's my understanding. It's a beautifully designed compliance car, but just what a waste of effort. And Kyle tried to ask questions about this. One of the things he said, are you proud of this car, of the design of this vehicle? And not one person from Mazda said yes. They went, it's just 30 odd grand, Joe, for something with 100, that is an SUV, you know, small SUV size. It's smaller than an ID4, but just... The worst thing is it's a perfectly good car. It's a perfectly good valid use case, except that Americans won't buy a car which is range limited to 100 miles. You can't get to San Francisco and back. You know, it's being sold in California. That means you can't get it to San Diego from LA. You can't drive it between two major metropolitan areas and back. And
yeah, the sales numbers of the Bolt versus the Leaf and Mini pretty much tell that story already. And the i3, for example, too. The i3 struggled due to its range always.
I don't know. I just consider it a missed opportunity.
Especially how many partnerships they have with Subaru and Toyota. I mean, half their cars are all made by each other. This would have been a golden opportunity for them all to come out with one skateboard chassis, and put three different bodies on top of it, and all three of them would have a great electric car.
Well, I mean, that's and which is what we're seeing. You know, Volkswagen and Ford have partnered up. Ford are going to put a shell on top of an MEB platform system. We know that that's what Toyota and Subaru are doing, but it at some point in the future. But no, I just it is what it is, and I'm sure that, you know, dealers will have to sell them, and they will discount the hell out of them and put every incentive behind them. And I'll see a lot of them here in Los Gatos, and they'll never leave. It's just, I don't know, it's just an unfortunate waste of resources. So much more could have been done.
Yep. I mean, I think New Jersey will be filled with them too, because $30,000 car, $7,500 tax credit, $5,000 more off by the state. You're getting a brand new EV for $17,000, whether it's compromised or not. It's a pretty hard bargain.
And having driven around in New Jersey in the rain for the past week and a half, I would like to say, keep them. Maybe you could, at that price, it's cheaper than blacktop, so you could compress them, squeeze them, and then shove them into the cracks that you call potholes. This thing has 16-inch tires and a long wheelbase. Trust me, every time you drive on this thing in New Jersey, it feels like you're going to need to see the chiropractor. All my jokes about the California Department of Transport, I take them back. I take them back. Joe, I got one more thing to say before we close this out. Is there anything you want to bring up? Any content that you've got coming out?
No, I mean, I just did the range test. I did a couple of little road trips. I'm working on editing my big road trip, but kind of at a little bit of a lull time to start creating more content soon again. Not sure what it's going to be, but we'll figure it out.
So let me put forward a future thing and a near future thing. So Joe and I are giving serious consideration to attending the fully charged event in Austin in the spring. I won't be road tripping out there. I'm gonna use kerosene to get there, aka an airplane. I'm just gonna be too busy that time of year to be road tripping to Texas and back. But we're both planning on being there, and so we are looking at doing a meetup. I've also reached out to the organizers to ask if there is a call for paper, so that I can talk about family sustainability as a whole, using the setup that we have here at the house as an example, and actually go into the costs of sustainable motoring, you know, through the use of solar and off-grid usage and all those elements. I'm also going to make a suggestion as best I can that should there be any form of entertainment, it should involve a British comedian who has some rather good jokes amongst his stuff regarding midgets and debauchery and avoidance and the use of a British driving license to evade justice in America. Does have a couple of good jokes about EVs, believe it or not. It's a small audience, but I cater to it. But we'll also do a meet if we're both there, is the plan. Then we will also arrange a meetup while we're there. So just giving you that as a heads up. And then coming back to comedy and EVs, which was always part of my plan. So I will be performing. This is my midlife crisis moment, my friend. I will be performing at Ha Ha's in Hollywood on November the 13th. I'll be doing three shows, the 7, 9, and 11 o'clock show. I will then be performing at the American Comedy Company in San Diego on Sunday the 14th. Now, all that is normal, and I will be driving down from the Bay Area to Los Angeles on the morning of the on the Friday morning, because I have some stuff to do down there, and I have the weekend off for being a dad. On the Monday morning, I will be leaving San Diego very early and driving, God help me, Joe, driving to Green River, Utah, the scene of the crime. And I will be picking up two dogs, two small Scottish Terriers who have been with some friends of ours in Vail.
Why else would you go to Green River?
Not for the coffee. Sorry, Green River, Utah, but that coffee was great when you're really tired and really need it, but when you're sober...
I'm much more of a fan of the restaurant across the street. That's my go-to.
No, well, that may happen. And so, and then I will be driving back to the Bay Area. So if you have an interest in joining me for that road trip, then I will spot you Southwest flights from the local area of San Diego. The timing is fixed. And no, I don't care if you can do it on a different day. I have to leave Monday morning with a full battery. And I have got to be back in the Bay Area on Tuesday night because I'm working on Wednesday. But if you want to do that, and then let me know. I have points coming out of the wazoo because of what I do for a living. So we will be, so if you want to join me for that trip, feel free. There will only be myself in the car. You must be fully vaccinated because Miss London is not. She is 5 years old and not able to get the vaccination. So you must be fully vaccinated. I will require proof of vaccination. I don't care if you've got a negative test 72 hours beforehand. I don't care. I worked in intelligence for too long. These are my rules. But you are more than welcome to join me as a co-pilot and do some of the driving and be on the regular EV Dad channel. So that's leaving San Diego on the morning of the 15th. And you might be in St. George or somewhere on the way. I'll pick you up. That's fine. And then I will spot you rapid reward points, whatever, to get from San Jose, San Francisco, the Bay Area, back to where you need to be. Just wanting to meet the people, Joe. Just wanting to meet the people. Plus, it's a long way.
I'll circle back real quick. I looked up those dates for that Fully Charged event. That's April 23rd and 24th of next year.
So we will be out there for that. Anything else, Joe?
I think we're caught up on the news. I see the missus is home, so looks like I have to go.
If you haven't, thank you so much for watching. This has been, I've been John, that has been Joe. He's from JKAV. I'm your regular EV dad. You can get this podcast wherever you look for podcasts. Just look for Family EV. And until next time, be safe.
Take care.
Perfect timing. Hi, Mrs. Joe.